Welcome to this episode of Wildcast. I'm your host, Matt Blymeyer. Welcome to this episode of Wildcast. We're calling this the Season 1 Savage Edition, and we'll explain why. With us, we have Amber Savage, the new softball coach at Penn College. Coach, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So we'll jump into your background. Tell us about yourself. You're a local person, and you played college not too far away. Give us the background on that for your kind of your early teen years.
Sure. I graduated from William Swart High School. I played softball there for 4 years. It was a very successful program. I was lucky enough to play for the Silver Bullet Travel Organization, which also helped us. By the time we got to high school, we were pretty decent athletes. I was blessed to get a scholarship to play athletically at Bloomsburg, 4-year pitcher. We went to nationals twice, placed third and fourth. Still leaves a bad taste in my mouth every once in a while because I wish we could have done better, but the game goes the way that it goes. From there, I went to New York and did some softball and baseball training at Frozen Ropes and then came home. My family's here. My family is very large part of my life, so it makes sense to stay and be around everybody else. And then I got blessed to have 2 children, and one is a daughter who decided, I tried to put her in dance, actually, and she lasted 2 classes and came out and said, I don't want to do any of this.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, so I put her in this itty-bitty sports class, and she came out and goes, I'll do all of this. And I said, of course you do. Of course you will. So we ended up heading back into the travel world of softball, and I got to mentor a whole bunch of girls and never really left the game. It's my favorite, and I love that I get to do it here locally now, too.
You save yourself from hours of dance rehearsals. My niece is in dance, and I like going, but it's a 5-6 hour day, some of them. Let's go back to college. You played for a legendary coach, Jan Hutchinson. What did you learn from her? How was that experience with her? I think she was a 7-time coach of the year. She's actually very successful in 2 sports, field hockey and softball, but in your case, softball. What were you able to learn from somebody that accomplished so much?
Well, it's good that you brought that up. So Coach Hutchinson, absolutely everything you said, 100%. And it was incredible playing for her. The way she can see things, her verbiage, just the way she leads it, without even making it known that, like, you're following her. She has an expectation, and she recruits accordingly, and the expectation is met. You said she coaches 2 sports, but when I was being recruited, I didn't even know that. I didn't know field hockey was a thing for girls' wing sport. We don't have that. We've never seen the sport up until I got to college. And actually, I was working with the athletic training group, and they needed a cooler to go out to the field hockey field. So I headed down there, and I remember just being in awe, because she coached it in the fall, of just her and her energy and the way those girls responded and just everything about it. So not only did I learn all about a whole nother sport, but I got to see up close and personal just her in her element right off the bat as soon as I got on campus. Her assistant, who's now the head coach, was the pitching coach there. And she was originally the reason that I chose it outside of Coach Hutchinson, too, is that she has so much knowledge in pitching. And I knew there was so much more to know about the position itself. But the game as a whole, man, it really molds you into who you are. And Jen was just such a great person to help you through just young adulthood in general. So she's a very classy individual for sure.
Yeah, I find her story interesting, because you won't see that anymore. Somebody's highly successful in 2 different sports. We're so specialized just as people and coaches. To have a coach 2 sports at a high level I don't think you'll ever see that again. Then we don't ask people to do that.
Right.
So that's awesome that you had that experience and able to take what you learned from her and into coaching. Speaking of coaching, you mentioned earlier Silver Bullets. You had played for them growing up, and you found your way back to them as you were getting settled back here in the community. Tell us about the Silver Bullets, what it meant to you as a youngster, and then what it has done for you over the past 10, 12, 13 years that you've been involved with them.
Sure. So Actually, this all started down at Tate Field, which is still here. The Bullets still practice down there, as well as Elm Park. Mike Tate is the founder. He was the original coach. He was my coach. And he went around the area and found the best athletes and kind of put together a bigger program and a more aggressive team. I remember being in Elm Park watching my dad. He was a men's fast pitch All-American, actually. So that level of grit and energy in the game, I guess, probably carried from there. But Mike Tate is the one that noticed it. And I think there were 15 of us from I don't know how many schools. It wasn't just Lycoming County. It was pretty big. But he is the one that really dove into that. And I remember sitting at Tate Field coming up with our name. There were some girls from Old Lycoming that really gravitated toward the Silver Bullet name. And that's just kind of how we went from there. Professional Petroleum actually sponsored us our first year. And we were the only team that showed up to all these travel tournaments in Little League uniforms, like gray pants and all of that stuff. Yep. The travel world had already adopted the shorts and the sliding shorts and all of that. So everybody really underestimated us. And we came in and really owned the field pretty good. But he was so good about reaching out and continuing to be educated in the game. So he developed this great relationship with Temple University. And those coaches used to come in the winter and really break things down for us. And give us the next level that all of us were desperately asking for and hungry for. And he's still part of it today. So when I came back, once my daughter got involved, I knew that I just wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to share what I was so blessed to learn along the whole journey as well. There's just a way when you're coaching young kids that they give you this magical look when you give them something that they don't think they can accomplish. And Mike Tate did that for us too. So that's really, I try to be as involved with all of the teams now with the Silver Bullets. I think I do know every athlete's name in the organization, which is upwards of 100, sometimes depending what season to season it is. But see the magic of the game and show them that confidence is really why I guess I never leave. I love it. I love what it can do for you as a person.
And so you spend 8 years, the last 8 years coaching the Silver Bullets, and you weren't coaching in college athletics. You were an account executive for marketing. And then life throws you an incredible curveball. Tell us what that is, how you got through it, and then kind of how that led you to sitting across from me having this conversation as the new head coach at Penn College.
Yeah, absolutely. So a little over a year ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer and had to basically make a big shift, or like you said, it was quite the curveball. I educated myself heavily on it. When I went down here to Williamsport to get my final diagnosis, it wasn't supposed to go my way. And the gentleman looked across from me and basically said, "You're handling this really, really well." So again, when it comes back to sports and athletics and just this type of community that comes with this, you grow into being a very confident individual. This game gives you that. And anytime there's something that's potentially out of your control, you shift. So you just have to be able to shift with whatever life is handing you. And the same thing with the game. Like, the game is unpredictable. So you just shift and you do the things that you know that you're really good at, or the things that are going to set you up for success. So I thanked the gentleman, the oncologist right across from me, and I said, "I appreciate everything you're telling me. And no disrespect at all, but this isn't going to be my answer. I'm going to go research and do some homework and figure out the best road for me." It was, at the time, 2024. We shouldn't be dying from breast cancer, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I'm also a pretty intelligent person. I like to read. I do my homework. But I really feel that it was the game that built me as a woman, a very confident woman, happy woman, everything to live for all of the time. I fully feel I have great mental health. So I went home and I did a bunch of research and I read a lot, dove into some of my family members that have had cancer and what was best for them, what didn't they like, what did they like, and figured out the best areas that I could do. So I ended up picking Pittsburgh to do my treatment because they specialized. Williamsport's fantastic to treat cancer for sure. But I knew in my instance, I needed a special person to really dive into this. So I met with some oncology people up there and I drove 4 hours for every treatment for 6 months. And it was the heaviest chemo, so they say. Again, I'm not a doctor. It was the heaviest, most brutal chemo But really, I don't remember being sick. I had a massive community around me because of sports. My son also plays a ton of things, and he happened to be in football season when I started my chemotherapy. So I never left the game. I never left the field. I showed up for all my kids' events. Everybody was very respectful to kind of make sure if they were sick, they just kind of kept their distance a little bit. But again, like, people were dropping off meals, offering to drop my kids off. And again, this is just what sports does. It gives you an entire family outside of your family. So from there, I got to still be involved. And again, my mental health was really, really important through this. And I really think that that's what carried me through. But again, the game gives you that. This game's never supposed to break your heart. No game is supposed to break your heart. It's supposed to be your happy place, the place you love to go. Like I told my girls the other day, the pack here, this is our playground. This is where all of the fun and the magic gets to happen. So don't ever let it be the place that you dread to go. And I think that they're all pretty much, they feel the same way. They love this game. And if you're this far into it, you absolutely do. You're not doing this for anybody else but yourself. So I got the chance to stay and coach the girls, and all my hair fell out. And I I have a girl that she and I are pretty close, Maddie Smith. She was my shortstop for Silver Bullets. And I said she was the only one I was worried about, because if my head was going to be a little not perfectly shaped, she was going to call me out. It was going to be hard to coach the game across the field, but thankfully it was a nice round head. She was like, darn, I really was hoping I was going to get to jab you on that. But I really feel like me continuing to show up and set that example showed them that it is possible. You absolutely have control of your life and control the controllables, right? So my approach, my desire to beat it, my ability to educate myself, those are all in my control. What the medicine chose to do was out of my control. But again, if I can give myself the best chance, I did everything I possibly could. And as of March 13th, I am cancer-free. It was fantastic. So that spring, I was coaching. I really have the best husband. He's going to be the best team dad. I call him the team dad. And he's just so incredibly supportive. And I was out there coaching at one point, and we got home, and that night he looked over and he goes, I don't know why we're not doing this all the time. And then I was taken aback a little bit, because I had chose to go back to work 2 months early, actually. And he said, that is your happy place. You light up and you are 100% amber in that field. And he said, but furthermore, you should see the way these kids look at you when you're talking to them, or you're cheering for them, or whatever it is. And he said, it's just magic. And I really would like you to go do what makes you happy, because you never know. You never know what life is going to hand you. It really woke up at least my entire household to really do the things that you're passionate about and with intention. And you are handed one life. Grab a hold of it and roll with it. So that's what we did. And here, somehow it all worked out the way that it was supposed to. I mean, I did a lot of praying, and maybe it just kind of went this way. Ange, the previous coach here, I played with her. She was a Silver Bullet, and she had said she was trying to get closer to home. And obviously she came from Bucknell, and that's where her heart originally lays. And I knew that this position was coming open, and this community is my jam. I love the people of this community. Even this morning, I was at the Gateway Cafe in Jersey Shore, and there were 3 or 4 junior high softball players in there. And I was so excited to see them and see how their season's going. Usually I get to go there, but I haven't been to a lot of their games. But it was just nice to see them all. And this community just brings that closeness. And I hope that I get to be here for however long the good Lord decides I get to be here.
So that's great. Great timing, I think, for you is, you know, you guys have made that decision as a family, and then this job opens up, and it's in a, you don't have to change your footprint, right? I mean, you're still the commute. And full disclosure, as we're recording this, was the first time I realized that you had gone through what you went through, because you didn't bring it up during the interview process at all. For those listening, we actually had to pause real quick because she was about to drop this, and she wanted me to know it. She didn't want the reaction recorded, which is, I mean, your story is incredible. I'm still trying to process it, quite honestly. But this job opens up, and you throw your hat in the ring, as they say. You mentioned it a little bit, but a little bit more. Why Penn College? Obviously, the timing's great. The program had been set up. You had known the previous coach. And I think you know some of the girls that have come through. Give us a little bit more detail on the decision to come here, because you do want to go into coaching, right? Your family made that decision, but it's got to be the right place. And it just so happened that the right place opened at the right time.
Yes. So I would say there's multiple reasons. One, I love Penn College. Honestly, I was doing their marketing and advertising with Carlos, who does a great job here. I fully believe in everything and the whole direction that this college goes. I do think and am very passionate that this is the best degree. If you're going to be anywhere in Pennsylvania, you should be here. The hands-on learning is a one-of-a-kind experience. So there's that aspect for sure. I'm already passionate about this entire community right here on campus. I was ready to come on to the next level, probably because I think that our young women need that strong role model in their life. And I was ready to be that. I had gone through quite a lot of experiences. And sometimes there's a time and a place to share that. And again, the mental health aspect, especially now, it just seems so back and forth and just unstable right now. So if I can at least provide that to the people that I get to interact with every single day, whether I'm coaching them or working with them or whatever it is, I just wanted to be something bigger and share it with as many people as I can. And why not the kids that are about to be our next generation, our next everything? So I just wanted to kind of be the presence of a really positive outlook of life and that you really are in control. The group that I was coaching for the past 8 years, they're all graduating now and they're getting their scholarships. In fact, yesterday at practice, I had one of the PSAT coaches call and ask me about a kid. And it's so nice to talk about them and everything. It feels like I had 12 children and I'm getting ready to cut ties or let them all kind of go be their own people. So now I'm ready for the next step. I'm ready to see what these young women can kind of turn into and also share my love of the game at this level. It's the same thing. It's just, there's more tactic behind it. The love is still there. The game is still the same. You go after it a little harder at this level.
Tell us about your coaching philosophy and specifically ICE and what you look for as you're out recruiting prospective student athletes.
Yeah. So ICE actually, there's like 12 different things really that come behind that. So the I can stand for the intensity or the intention, or it just depends on what your squad is that year, right? The C can be for the compassion of your teammates or the commitment part of it as well. The E is the execution, the excitement, the love about the game. Again, you can incorporate all kinds of different ways, but ultimately it reminds you that the game is here to be kind to you and you will get out of it what you give it. So my philosophy and my approach and everything around it is you show up happy and ready to roll and you believe in yourself and you keep yourself on the pedestal. Like I said to the girls the other day, I was like, you're queens and don't ever forget it. No matter what happens, don't ever forget it. You're going to be on a pedestal and I'm going to keep you there. You're going to try to knock yourself off multiple times because that's what women are. We're hard on ourselves. But you've got to be able to bounce right back and put yourself right back up there. We're human. We're allowed to make mistakes. But how are you going to respond after that? And the love of the game is going to help you to respond. If you don't love it and you're just showing up to go through the motions, you're going to stay in that negative space. So I guess there's so much good and so many fun things and so much cool stuff that happens in that game. And it's just, I love being excited and sharing that with girls. And anybody, really. I'll do it at my son's baseball game. I try to be the parent the best that I can, but some of them will hear my verbiage as I'm cheering for all of their kids, or they'll see my son like be able to shift during a certain terminology or whatever it is. So I guess I trickle into some of the boy sports too, but you are who you are. And if you're consistent through it, everybody kind of gravitates towards it. And ICE really just reminds me to keep it simple, I guess. And the simple part of it is loving the game and being excited about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. People can follow the journey of Penn College softball on Instagram at Penn_college softball. There's a long story behind that handle. I'll fill you in later. And on X at PCT softball. Amber, thank you for joining us today. She's in day 4 as we're recording this here. So it's been a very busy week. Thank you for taking the time for us to get this recorded so we can get this out there and introduce a Wildcat Nation to our new softball coach, Amber Savage. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.